Today's Monday edition of the Daily Fantasy Basketball Podcast is brought to you by No Halftime. No Halftime is an iTunes app that allows you to compete in player versus player daily fantasy sports contests. Use the promo code BBALL, that's B-B-A-L-L, at sign up for a free $20 to play with. That's No Halftime, where the fantasy sports season never takes a break. And that music was from the band Qantas Never Crashes. One of our listeners, Matthew Langley, sent us that music from his band. Let us know if you liked it. Thanks again to Matthew for sending that to us. It's awesome that we have listeners who are multi-talented, good at fantasy basketball, good at music. And joining me tonight on the Daily Fantasy Basketball Podcast is Daniel Green. Daniel, what's going on, my man?
Not much, man. What's up with you, Mark?
Not too much. I'm excited to talk about some fantasy basketball.
Yes, sir.
Hey, we had some big news over the last couple of days since we last had a show, so I guess we just jump right into it, huh?
Yeah, let's do it.
So first off, right after so Friday, I guess, right after our last show, there was a trade in the NBA, which is always exciting. A one-player trade. Josh Smith got traded back to the Houston Rockets for essentially nothing and has actually played quite well since returning to his previous team. What have you thought about Josh Smith so far in his return to the Rockets?
You know, it's interesting. It's just how a player can be so irrelevant on one team and then, you know, get traded, and now he's going to be a major piece for Houston, and I think he's going to be extremely fantasy relevant. And
don't you think part of the reason he was irrelevant though was just because Doc Rivers didn't trust him, didn't want to play him? Like,
well, yeah, but I mean, that's what's so, you know, it's always been so frustrating with Josh Smith, right? He's always been kind of a, you know, weird guy. No one can really figure out.
He does a lot. I'm kind of at the point with Doc that I'm like, I think he's the weird one.
Well,
right. Like, there's just certain players that he just decides he doesn't believe in, and we know they're talented. Like, look at Spencer Haas. He did just fine before he went to the Clippers. He's kind of revived his career in Charlotte, but Doc Rivers didn't believe in him, so Doc Rivers didn't play him.
Yeah, and I agree with that, but I think most coaches kind of can get like that, which is super annoying, especially for fantasy. But the only reason why I'm not as hard on Doc for this reason, and I think he's a horrendous GM, and, you know, probably the main reason why that team is never going to win a title. But, you know, The thing with Josh Smith, if you read like the LA papers, is that the whole team hated him. It wasn't just Doc Rivers. Like, no one wanted to play with him. Like, I mean, like, they would. I mean, they, you know, it was a lot of anonymous sources. But if you talk to those beat writers, like, for some reason, like, I'm not sure what the heck happened there. But like, they just he was a cancer in that locker room, and no one wanted to play with him on the court. So, you know, it wasn't only a Doc Rivers thing.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Doc has to shoulder at least some of the blame for not incorporating the players into his system. He basically just has a couple of players he trusts, including his son Austin Rivers, and everybody else is on the outskirts looking in. And look, you know what you're getting with Josh Smith, right? Like, he's a little bit temperamental, but he's a skilled player, and so if you treat him like a end of the bench player who's now, you know, who you don't trust, what do you think you're going to get out of him?
Yeah, I don't know
exactly what you got. So
yeah, but I don't know, because like that team, I mean, look who's basically playing a lot of minutes, you know, right now over Josh Smith, and because a lot of it is because Blake Griffin is, you know, has been out, but Mbah Mute is getting like 30 minutes a game lately. Paul Pierce is playing a lot. You know, Wesley Johnson is getting a lot of minutes. You know, the worst player in the NBA, Austin Rivers, Cole freaking Aldridge, you know. Prigioni is getting some run. The two guys who aren't getting run, Lance Stephenson can't get on the court or barely gets on the court. And Josh Smith, you know, would never play. So it's like, talent-wise, he should easily be playing minutes. Something must have happened, man, like, you know, in that locker room.
I just feel like it's the coach's job. Like, otherwise, if you're never going to play those guys, don't bring them in.
Well, yeah, no, I totally agree, and like, but it just sucks because I think Clippers really could have used him. Like, I think that's the most frustrating part. So,
and that's why it's like I'd be frustrated if I was a Clippers fan at Josh Smith, but I also feel like I'd be frustrated at Doc Rivers. Like, yeah. you've got to find a way to incorporate these type of players. You can't just keep saying they were the problem; they're the reason we're getting them out of town.
No, no, I totally agree. But I mean, switching over now to Houston, though.
Yeah, let's talk about his fantasy production in the last two games.
It's fascinating to me. Like, yeah, so like on – this would have been
– So Friday night, the day he got traded, he played 21 minutes for the Rockets. He only had 2 points. He was 1 of 10. But he had 5 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals, 3 blocks. So if you kind of cover up that points column – he did excellent, you know, 5 points, six assists, 2 steals, 3 blocks. It's awesome.
He wasn't supposed to even play. He would, you know, I don't know how he passed a physical. Must have taken the physical on the plane. It was amazing. Like, it killed my DFS lineups that night because I played Terrence Jones, who, by the way, if you own Terrence Jones right now, pause the podcast and drop that, you know, SOB, because like his days of fantasy relevance are over. You know,
I've been telling you this for the whole season. Like, everybody keeps looking at his production on a permanent basis and saying like, oh, this guy could be so good if he finally plays. But it just seems clear in this situation, they're never going to give him big enough minutes. Like, they'll always find a reason not to give him a lot of minutes.
Well, I mean, what you've been saying now has come true for sure, because there's just no, I just can't envision a scenario unless three or four people get injured where Terrence Jones gets legitimate minutes right now. So, you know, but more importantly, though, Josh Smith tonight had a great game. Sunday night. So he played 21 minutes tonight, and he had, where's his stat line?
So I actually had him for 23 minutes with 16 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks, and 2 3-pointers.
God, just fills up that stat sheet so beautifully. And we should note, just so you, again, if you haven't, pause and drop Terrence Jones yet. So Terrence Jones tonight got 10 minutes and only 3 minutes in the second half. So clearly, you know, that team loves Josh Smith. And if you read like the quotes from the game on a couple nights ago, they basically said Josh Smith was the reason they won the game, which I thought was a little crazy. They loved his energy. Like, they just love playing with him. I'm not sure, you know, it's, you know, he's, for some reason, he's just a really good fit for that team. And if you remember, you know, he played well for them last year too. So, I picked him up in one league. I mean, the only thing that's a little misleading from the numbers from his, in his first two games is that Dwight Howard's been out. So when Dwight comes back, you know, how is that going to impact Josh Smith? You know, and I don't think it's going to impact him too much. I think he's going to basically settle in to playing, you know, kind of in the mid-20s. And if he's getting, you know, around 24 to 26 minutes a night, he can do a lot of things on that stat sheet.
Listen, he's always been a flawed player. Even back when in his Atlanta days, when he was a top, I don't know, 20 player.
Yeah,
he's a pretty flawed guy, and that's just because he. I think I even ran this stat one time, like combined field goal and free throw percentage, players like the worst players in the league, and he's closer to the top every year. And you know, this season's no different. He's shooting 37% from the field. He's shooting 58% from the line. So he's going to kill you in both of those areas. And everywhere else he can be useful, particularly in those defensive categories. Steals and blocks.
Mark, the reason I don't think he kills you though anymore, if you're only playing 24 or 26 minutes, is because I don't think the volume is, like, especially in a head-to-head league, the volume I don't think is going to be enough on a week-to-week basis where he's really going to be the difference in you winning or losing a matchup. You know, like if he's
that's a good point.
I mean, he may only take like 6 free throws a week, free throws a week. So, you know, field goal percentage, that's always going to be a big problem. But the other categories, I wouldn't be too concerned about.
And like so far this season, in 15 minutes a game, he's averaged 1.5 free throw attempts. So, you know, you figure he gets three. If he gets to 25 minutes a game, he's going to be up around 3 or something.
Right. So like, you know, are you considering adding him or no? Sounds like you're a little more reluctant than I am.
I just think he has to be on the right team. I think the only reason I want to add him, if I do anywhere, it's for those steals and blocks.
Right.
I think that's primarily where he's going to add value in that limited amount of time. Like, he's a good rebounder and passer, but he's not going to have enough time in Houston unless there's a move there for him to accumulate enough stats in points, rebounds, or assists, frankly, for him to be valuable. Like, I really think it's just going to be the blocks and steals. So if you need those two categories and you don't mind the hit on free throws, I think he's a really interesting ad. If you're kind of like free throws, one of your bread and butter categories, I think even like a 3 for 8 every week can kind of damage you there. So I think it just depends on what you need at this point. Josh Smith's always been that way. And even though, I guess the way you would say it, right, is now that he's playing less minutes, his good things aren't as good as they used to be, and his bad things aren't as bad as they used to be. But it's still the same old Josh Smith.
Right. Yeah, I mean, he's not a player, you know, that's going to be like a must-own player for your leagues. But, you know, if you have a spot that you kind of stream every week, he's not. He definitely would be under consideration now, I think.
Is there anybody on Houston that you're worried about as far as minute-wise?
Yeah, well, so Terrence Jones is dead to me now. Like, basically, I just want that. I was trying to figure out a way, especially in DFS. Like, I don't – like, you know, when you look at players and their salaries, I don't want to ever see his name in salary. So I emailed FanDuel and DraftKings. And I said, can you just take and delete Terrence Jones from my
How did that go?
They didn't respond yet. So, like, I'm not
pulling for you. I hope it happens.
Because, like, he cost me a fortune. Like, I thought for sure, like, Josh Smith's first freaking game, you know, they're not going to give him a lot of run. But, they did. And tonight, too, he got a lot of minutes, and Terrence Jones got none. So Terrence Jones is dead to me. The other guy, you know, now I'm concerned about, and I know this is your, you know, this is your favorite player, but that's Capella. If Dwight ever gets healthy, they've been playing a lot of Capella at the four and Dwight at the five with Josh Smith. Now you got a lot of flexibility. So, I mean, Capella hasn't been getting a lot of minutes, like, anyway. He's been struggling to maintain in, like, the mid-20s. I mean, tonight he got 24 minutes. So you add Josh Smith in there, I could see Capella's minutes going down a little bit more. Maybe now he's getting 18 to, like, 20. And to me, like, I'm trying to hold on. I'm trying to do, you know, I know he's your boy. I'm trying to hold on until the trade deadline, but it is getting tough. Like, if he stays with Houston, like, the second the trade deadline passes, I'm dropping Capella.
Yeah, and, you know, you're right. Like, situations change. The advice we were giving on Capella, or at least I was giving, was – based on the roster without Josh Smith. So that doesn't mean I'm dropping him instantly, but I think there could be a skid to a situation if they decide to cut Capella's minutes where you can't hang on to him, or it becomes a struggle to hang on until the trade deadline.
Yeah, I mean, like, quite honestly, Capella is so borderline right now being owned, in my opinion. Like,
he is. I mean, that's basically what I said when right. I was recommending picking him up. He's going to be borderline, but give it until the trade deadline if you can, and then he could be great afterwards.
Yeah, I mean, the problem is now, I mean, in a lot of ESPN leagues, I think maybe Yahoo too, we have like 3 weeks left and the playoffs start already, which blows mm-hmm. my mind. So, you know, it's hard to keep holding on to Capella if you're not getting that production. So, I, like, if you need to drop him, you know, but go ahead.
I wouldn't drop him for Josh Smith, you know what I mean?
No. Yeah, I wouldn't either.
So if we're kind of saying maybe pick up Josh Smith, if there's somebody bad enough on your team to drop for Josh Smith, then you should definitely keep Capella, and don't drop Capella for Josh Smith. I would, like, if they were both available to me, I would still pick up Capella. I still think his upside is much higher, and I think probably his night-to-night production, like, I think he's going to get you a steady 7.5 rebounds and probably more blocks than Smith is going to give you. He's going to shoot just as bad from the free throw line, but he's going to at least help your field goal percentage. So, and I think, you know, there's still a scenario where he's getting 32 to 34 minutes a night some point this season. I don't think Josh Smith ever gets back to that level, at least not this season.
Yeah. Another problem that now I see Houston starting to play better and win games. So the better that they do, the more I think they'll be reluctant to trade anyone this year. It's going to be interesting to see what they do with Dwight, you know, because Dwight had some monster games.
I still think the trade that makes some sense somehow, and there'd have to be more to it than that, is if they move Dwight to Cleveland for Kevin Love.
Yeah.
If they basically just in Cleveland say, we need LeBron to be the power forward. We've got to have a big athletic defensive center in there. Like, no more Tristan Thompson, no more Mozgov. Like, we want Dwight Howard, and we're going to go with LeBron at the four, and LeBron accepts that. I think you might have to send somebody else, like, put a reason in the deal or something, because Love is obviously more valuable at this point in his career than Dwight is. But, and then, you know, Capella and Love would make some sense in Houston.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. I mean, I think we're talking about the
Daniel. Know, speaking of Cleveland, you like that nice segue?
I mean, you cut me off a little bit. But other than that, yes, I did. I enjoyed it.
I apologize. Complete your thought.
Oh no, I was just gonna say. I think we're gonna talk about Cleveland coming up. So no, I was right with you.
Yeah. The big news of the weekend is that David Blatt, the owner of the 30-11 record for the Cleveland Cavaliers, was fired. And in somewhat a shocking manner, I guess. I mean, I was shocked when you actually broke the news to me.
I did. I
was on meeting on Friday.
I'm basically like your Mark Spears, or your like your Adrian Wojnarowski.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you think of that? Any first thoughts there?
I mean, like, this wasn't that surprising. Like, I know, like, of course, all, like, the NBA coaches are in this super, like, tight-knit fraternity where no one can ever get fired. So they are all up in arms. Like, how can you fire this guy? But
I mean, I thought Jeff Van Gundy was going
to – Oh, that with a broadcast with Van Gundy and Mark Jackson?
Yeah.
Like, where they spent the entire first half, you know, just, you know, talking about how Blatt was the greatest thing, you know.
They occasionally mentioned the game that they were watching, but just in passing.
Yeah, barely. I think that at least the second half. I think like some of the producers basically got in their ear and said, look, can you guys, you know, focus on the game? But – Yeah, so I mean, like, I was not surprised. Like, quite honestly, it was never a good fit. He wasn't hired to coach that team to begin with. He was hired to, you know, coach a developmental team with Andrew Wiggins. You know, like, that's LeBron never wanted him. You know, clearly, if you read all the stories from, like, last year and even this year, I mean, you could tell. LeBron and a lot of other guys in that team really didn't really pay attention to him, and then they paid a lot more attention to Ty Lue. So, and then when Golden State destroyed them by 70 points. That obviously I thought was a big sign that a shakeup would come. So wasn't that surprised. And now it's gonna be interesting to see what is Ty Lue, you know, gonna do with that squad. I mean, like, we saw one game, so we only have like a tiny sample size. But if listening to him, he wants like a 10-man rotation, which for fantasy, you know, we from fantasy wise, we hear 10-man rotation, we just cringe, right? That's the worst thing you can hear. But he wants to play at a much more up-tempo pace. He wants to get Kevin Love much, much more involved. So those things are good fantasy-wise. So it's going to be interesting to see what he does. He also wants to play Mo Williams, you know, some more minutes. But those
here's, here's a question, like, and a serious question. Do you believe, first of all, do you believe him?
Regarding what?
Like, coaches lie all the time, right? Sure. Yeah, they, like, they have no incentive to tell us the truth. So they can lie for whatever reason they want. So I guess my first question is, do you believe him? Do you think that that's really what he wants to do, or is he just saying things?
No, I think it is. Because, I mean, like, the way that they're playing, you know, and you kind of touched on this a minute ago, the way they're playing now, they're not going to beat Golden State or San Antonio. You know, so their records are relevant. The rest of the season, really, the games, like, all they basically should be doing the rest of the season is just trying to find a way of playing basketball that can beat and match up with Golden State and San Antonio. And, like, I think you gotta speed, you know, get that tempo up a little bit, and you gotta find a way to get Kevin Love more involved. Like, they're not utilizing him at all. He just stands in that corner, especially in the fourth quarter, and LeBron and Kyrie take turns. It's an atrocious way of playing basketball. So, like, what they're gonna do, at least this is what I think, and what, you know, the main.
Yeah, this was gonna be my next question. What do you actually expect to happen? Kind of doesn't matter what Ty Lue really wants to happen, right? Because I feel like there's a lot of people who have influence there. So what do you really think is gonna happen there?
I mean, like, I think, like, they're gonna give Ty Lue about 9 to 10 games. I think that's how many games he has until the trade deadline. And he's gonna try to get Kevin Love more involved. You could see they were already running plays from at the elbow, which Coach Blatt, for some bizarre reason, never did. They're going to try to get K-Love more involved. They're going to speed up that tempo. You know, I mean, it was interesting. I was talking to you pre-show. Like, Ty Lue said that the entire team is, like, out of shape. And I guess, like, Rick Carlisle says that too, according to you. To me, that was very weird to hear a coach say in the middle of the season, my team's out of shape. Like, How can your team be out of shape? Anyway, I think they're going to speed up the tempo, try to get Kevin Love more involved, and see if they can, you know, play a little bit more efficient, a little bit, you know, more a style that's more equipped to beat Golden State San Antonio. Now, what that's truly going to entail, I mean, God, I mean, I don't know that, but they're going to give him about 9 to 10 games, see if he can somehow turn things around, which.
So are you going to try to take advantage of that? Like, do you think Kevin Love will improve?
Yeah, I mean, I do. I mean, I really think that he is going to be a bigger part of that offense. Just because that, I mean, like, they need him to be in order to, you know, to really contend for a title. So I think this is really good news for Kevin Love. And what would also, I think, could be the best news for Kevin Love owners, if things don't change in the next 9-10 games, which I wouldn't be surprised, you know, like, you know, I mean, that's like asking for a miracle, right? In some ways, like, Kevin Love gets traded. And if, like you said, Kevin Love for Dwight Howard or whatever. And I think any trade for, you know, with Kevin, involving Kevin Love would increase his fantasy value. Don't you?
Yeah, that's probably true. Do we read anything into the fact that J.R. Smith played 39 minutes and had 18 points and 11 rebounds in that first game?
No. I mean, like, so according to Lou after the game, he basically said.
What did Blatt have to say about it?
About what?
I thought you were about to say Blatt instead of Lou. And I would be curious at what David Blatt had to say about it.
I mean, I'm sure he was very, very happy. Because, I mean, first of all, they looked horrible in that game against the Bulls.
They really did.
You know, so his first game, you know, they lost to Chicago, and they looked so bad. But, I wouldn't read much in the J.R. Smith. I mean, the thing that was interesting is that Ty Lue said, like, midway through the first quarter, LeBron, Kyrie, and Love all asked to come out of the game. And this is why he right after that, he said they're out of shape. So, like, he said that his rotation was messed up for the entire game. So I wouldn't read too much into the first game. I see how the next two or three go. Because, again, like, Ty Lue wants to play 10 guys. If you're playing 10 guys, you know, I don't think J.R. Smith is going to be getting 38 minutes a game, you know? Mm-hmm. So
The other thing that I thought was very interesting, and maybe this is not important, is that I'm not sure Ty Lue has a lot of job security there. Like, I know that they gave him a 3-year deal or whatever, but if you actually broke that down, that ended up being this year, next year, and a team option for the next year. And they basically just gave him, so he had $1.5 million salary before this, and they bumped him up to $3 million. So all really that they guaranteed him was another $700,000 this year and another $1.5 million next year. So they've made a $2 million commitment to Ty Lue. Good luck. I hope that works out for him.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, it was a little surprising. They just didn't let him be an interim coach like every other franchise probably does. And they could have.
Yeah, I mean, I think that they wanted to have that, like, air of, hey, we have some security here. We, you know, we're not going to let this loom over our season. And so they were sly about, like, announcing that 3-year contract, but really all it amounted to was an extra $2 million.
Well, which, yeah.
When you realize their payroll is over $200 million,
right?
Like, they could replace him.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, Blatt had like a 4 or 5 year deal, right? So,
right.
I mean, you can fire a coach anytime. So,
yeah.
But like, it'll be interesting to see. Cause I mean, like, clearly whatever they were doing with Blatt, I mean, it even though they were winning games just based because they have LeBron and they're more talented than the rest of teams in the East. Like, against the better teams, they just didn't look right. So it's going to be interesting to see. I do think, you know, K-Love is the one guy who's going to see his fantasy numbers increase. I mean, like, what's your perspective on it?
I mean, it's hard for him to go anywhere but up, right?
I mean, yeah. Cause it's
like, for a guy like that, like I think the statement you said has a lot of truth in it, which was basically like any other situation but that exact situation he was in, he's going to improve from. So using that, like, at the same time, I don't know if I expect to see anything change until I actually see it change. Like, Ty Lue can sit there and say all he wants, that he wants to see Kevin Love get involved, but I don't know that I'm giving David Blatt all of the blame for Kevin Love not being involved. And so when I see, like, Ty Lue's comments are good for Kevin Love, but at the same time, he played 33 minutes, had 14 points, 5 rebounds.
So
LeBron had 27 shots. J.R. Smith had 17 shots. Kyrie Irving had 16 shots. Timothy Mozgov had 8 shots, and Kevin Love had 12 shots. So he falls somewhere in the pecking order between Kyrie Irving and Timothy Mozgov. You know, until I actually see something change, I'm not going to get too excited.
So in the last 20 games that Cleveland's played, what do you think Kevin Love's – how many times has Kevin Love hit 20 points? And what's been his, like, point – you know, his highest point total, do you think?
Oh, man, that's a tough question. I would guess he's been over there – like, not a lot, I guess, is my main point. I would guess 3 times.
Dude, yeah, 3 times, exactly.
Oh, nice. And I would guess – I don't remember any big games, so I would guess he didn't go over 30. But, like, did he hit 25 at one point or something?
Dude, did you look at Kevin Love's stats? No. To me, this is shocking. 23 points.
23.
That's in the last 20 games. That's the highest Kevin Love has done.
I just couldn't remember any, like, huge games for him.
That's not even 6 points a quarter. You know, when you think about it.
Yeah.
It's just like – so, yeah. I would not be surprised if he does get traded, but we'll see, man. It's going to be interesting.
My last thought on this, and I know it's crazy, but like, I don't understand if you're Cleveland and you've dumped that much money into winning the season. Like, why don't you just go get one of the best coaches? Like, I know it would be unconventional, but what if you just offered, like, who do you think is the best coach in the NBA? Pop, he's not coming, but who, like Rick Carlisle or Brad Stevens or something?
Those guys aren't leaving either.
What if you just plop down $25 million on the team?
Yeah, Mark, this is the problem, though, right? Cleveland is a horrendous organization. Like, it really is. Yeah. I think this is like the, you know, in LeBron's, what, 7 years there, this is like the fifth coach they've had.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. Why don't you just go to Rick Carlisle and be like, look, we've already invested so many million.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying.
I
think Rick Carlisle would say, you know, I'm happy here. I'm happy with it. Even though it's weird, Mark Cuban's a stable organization. Like, it is. Like, it's a really well-run organization.
I don't think he would take a three-year, like, $55 million offer to run the rest of that team.
I think if you blew it out of the table, like that, maybe.
That's my point. Like, think about how valuable Rick Carlisle would be that situation. You just spent, with luxury taxes and everything, didn't they just spend like $40 million to bring Tristan Thompson back this season?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. So splurge on a coach that, like, Tyronn Lue might be great, but I don't know. The time to do it would have been in the offseason, I realize that. But, like, what could have David – I guess my point is, They should have fired David Blatt at the beginning of the season because he went 30-11. So you knew you were going to fire him.
Yep.
So fire him at the beginning of the season. Go give Brad Stevens or Rick Carlisle or another great coach, give him a Godfather offer and have him come in and run things. You've spent so much money. This is like the last few years. I guess the reason it frustrates me is because, like, we only have a couple more years left of LeBron's peak. And I don't want to see it wasted with like a bad coaching situation or like they don't know how to use Kevin Love. Like, that's just frustrating. That's going to make for less interesting basketball in the playoffs. But.
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree with you. So
anyway,
but you know, it is what it is, man.
Back to the fantasy stuff. Now, probably the craziest thing that happened on Saturday night was the Phoenix Atlanta game. It was definitely more exciting than listening to Jeff Van Gundy go on and on about how terrible the media people are and about unnamed sources and all that nonsense. Can I just tell you some of the crazy – I know you watched this game, but Tyson Chandler had 27 rebounds and 5 assists in this game. Which are you more surprised about?
I mean – like, this game blew my mind, and it cost me about 10 grand in DFS.
Are you serious?
Yeah. And like
I knew, were you almost going to win a big tournament or something? Yeah.
Yes. So I had about – I had Archie Goodwin. I had Booker. I had three or four different guys going in various lineups in that game. All I needed, Mark, was that game to go to overtime. And then, you know, the game's tied. Archie Goodwin has, like, you know – in a beautiful play that was drawn up by Jeff Hornacek, Archie Goodwin dribbles like all over the court for 23 seconds and shoots like a fadeaway 3-pointer. That's really well
defined. It really was an awful play. It looked like something that Scott Brooks would have been proud of him. For
it was the worst play drawn up. I mean, the worst shot ever. And of course, Archie Goodwin makes a, you know, the follow away 3-pointer to
just drilled it. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So
I was so excited, but if I would have known that you were miserable about it.
I broke a remote. That's the fourth remote that I broke on the year.
My goodness.
Yeah. So did you
end up with anything?
Yeah. But I mean, okay. So that's the problem with DFS. The payouts are so top heavy, right? Mm-hmm. You know, like first place is 20 grand and second place is like, you know, you get like a cracker. So like the drop off between, you know, I think I ended up finishing top, you know, 20 in one big GPP and top 50 in one, but like those payouts are, you know, compared to, you know, making, you're talking, you know, thousands versus, you know, 100 or 200. So it cost me. Thanks for bringing that up. But in terms of the game, like this is what I think Phoenix should have done. The second that game ends, you call every general manager and you trade Tyson Chandler. Like that's the best you game.
People like 27 rebounds. Can you believe this guy?
Yeah. You just like, you send video of that game to every general manager, every scout, every player, every like person, you know, just everywhere. And you get rid of Tyson Chandler because he will never have a game that good again, ever. That's the best game. That will be the defining game of his career. That's his Kobe 81-point game. He's been so bad this year, Mark.
I think for the rest of his career, you're probably right. I was more shocked that he had 5 assists than he had 27 rebounds.
I was surprised that he was able to stand, like, just
play for 44 minutes.
Yeah, it was an amazing game. Like I think he's on HGH because there's no way he's just been, you know, he's aged like 20 years this year. Yeah. So it was shocking to see.
So Phoenix went with the Twin Tower lineup with Alex Len and Tyson Chandler. So Len played 35 minutes. Chandler played 44 minutes. They both had a double-double, both had 5 assists, which seems really surprising to me that those two would combine for 10 assists. Goodwin?
Like Len with 5 assists is more surprising than
I guess. I don't know what to be more surprised about. And Archie Goodwin had 24 points, 4 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks, 2 3-pointers, played 41 minutes and shot 17 times. I don't know what to make of that. Everybody who's asked me on Twitter, like, should I pick up Archie Goodwin? I just say yes, because you just never know with these type of situations. If you can get a starting point guard who's going to play big minutes, we know that Phoenix system can churn out good point guards. I think you got to do it.
Yeah. I mean, like I'm all in on Archie Goodwin at this point. Like, I legitimately think that Brandon Knight, he's now getting a second opinion on his injury. He could be shut down for the year. They have nothing to play for. I mean, the big thing is the minutes.
Wait, when you say all in on Archie Goodwin, what do you mean by that?
I mean, if he's available in your league, I'm picking him up. If he's available on the waiver wire, you know, I picked him up in 3 leagues, and the rest of the leagues he was already snatched up. But that's a guy right now that could swing the tables in a fantasy league, I think. So, I mean, like, it might not pay off, but I think it's worth the gamble right now.
Worth the gamble.
Yeah, we're talking about Josh Smith. He'd be a nice, he's a nice ad. But like Archie Goodwin, I think right now is a guy you pause the podcast and you go pick him up.
And what so let's play that out just a little bit. So what are you looking for in the next game or two, or like what would signal to you in the next game or two that he's worth keeping or that you should move on to from him?
I mean, to me, with him, it's all about Brandon Knight. I'm monitoring the hell out of Brandon Knight. You know, what's he doing?
So your expectation is as long as Knight is out, you think Archie Goodwin is a top 100 or a top 50 player or something.
Yeah. Now Phoenix does have, you know, they have like 6 or 7 guys banged up, but if Knight's out, I mean, everything that I've read from Phoenix, it looks like that, you know, Goodwin's going to be the guy running the show. If he's running the show there, again, Hornacek plays at such a fantasy friendly, you know, style of play, they're always top in the league in pace. So, you know, Goodwin's a guy that I would definitely want on my team.
Agreed.
And We should mention. I know you keep laughing me off on Alex Len, man. But I mean, you can tell they're dying to give this guy minutes. Like playing him at the 4, which, you know, me and you both kind of think is crazy because he can't move. But
I feel like if there's anything that anybody's doing that signals that they're tanking outside of Philadelphia, it's playing Alex Len as a power forward in the NBA. Yeah.
But I mean, you can't argue with 35 minutes, 16 points, 12 rebounds, and 5 assists, right? And normally he's going to get you a block or two. So he's definitely on my radar as well. Like Phoenix is going to tank. they're the one that they're going to tank. And even when they're tanking, the players that they play are going to, you know, put up really fantasy friendly numbers. So who's ever getting the minutes from Phoenix, those are guys that I want. We're going to want on my team.
Yeah. And again, my logic with Len has basically been, he's a center. He can't play any other position than center. And they just signed a huge, you know, their biggest free agent acquisition in a couple of years was Tyson Chandler, and plays only center. So my theory the whole time has been, there's no, even if they decide to split the minutes, which is pretty much relegating your big free agent signing to a platoon role, you know, Len isn't valuable at 34 or at 24 minutes. If you're telling me Len is going to get 32 to 34 minutes a game, I think it's a whole different story. And I still don't see any way that they can actually play these two together. So I don't know what to tell people, but you know, Len can do this if he gets 35 minutes.
I have two things to say at this point in the show. One, this is my bold prediction of the day, Mark. Okay. You're not a fan of sound effects. I wish I had a sound effects for my bold prediction of the day. Tyson Chandler will be traded. There it is. You heard it from me. Okay. So that is one reason why I do the
Alex. The only bold part about that is that another team would be willing to take Tyson Chandler's contract.
I think they would. Remember, next year that salary cap goes way up. Like, that's not going to be that bad of a contract.
No, I think it's not so much the magnitude, although that is a little bit daunting. I think it's the number of years. It's three more years after this year that you're going to have him at, like, a pretty big number. I know the salary cap going up. I realize all that. And, like, I would agree with you on 99% of the contracts in the NBA. But this one, like, he's 33 years old. He's got three more years after this year. I just think that's going to be dead weight, and everybody knows it. So you're going to have to, I think it's, if it is a trade, I think it's going to have to be like Archie Goodwin and Tyson Chandler for nothing.
Yeah. I don't think it's going to be just Tyson Chandler. I mean, I think it's going to be, they're going to try to do like a Tyson Chandler and Markieff and then throw in one of their actually talented, you know, young guys. So, I mean, but I think they are trying to trade him, at least some of the stuff that I'm reading in Phoenix. I'm not, you know.
No. I think that's for sure. They would like to try. All right, Dan, it's time to talk about the week 14 schedule. And to do that, we're joined today by a special guest, Tyler Watts, our good buddy who's been doing a lot of work on the Daily Fantasy Basketball Podcast.com, helping with the rankings and writing some articles. Tyler's going to help us navigate through week 14's schedule and rankings. Tyler, what's going on, my man?
Hey, Mark, how's it going?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Oh, can't complain. Got a packed week in the schedule, so there's going to be a ton of games. Every single team plays at least three games. 12 teams play three games. The other 18 teams play four games.
So that's kind of big news. No two-game teams.
So, yeah, so you're looking for quality over quantity then, right? I mean, like, you want guys who are going to play well, not just play, because there's going to be a ton of guys playing. So you want to get good quality from the games.
Saying, like, in a regular week, there'd be times like you could play a player that has four games over, like, one of your good players with two games, but you don't have to really worry about that this week.
Indeed. That's what I'm saying.
Gotcha.
So I got some good streamers for you. If you're looking like in a daily league, if you want to pick up guy for Monday and Tuesday to like save a game, you can pick up Aaron Gordon. He's only owned in 13% of ESPN leagues.
My goodness. Did you and Dan plan this pre-show?
No, we didn't plan anything, but look, he just got in the starting lineup. All right. And we know how crazy Coach Skiles is, but I think he's going to play some minutes in both games. All right. And if you got limited pickups for the week, all right, that's going to be two games you can get out of one guy.
All right, Daniel, you want to give us your case for Aaron Gordon?
I'm a big fan of Aaron Gordon. I think Scott Skiles has finally seen the light. He's finally playing his five. He's starting his five most talented players. You know, Aaron Gordon, he's been getting consistent minutes anyway the last, you know, at least 10 games or so. And Skiles has been, like, hinting, cryptic hint, you know, cryptic subtle messages to the media that he's going to tweak his starting lineup for the last, you know, few weeks. So we kind of all saw this coming, was hoping this was going to come, and now it finally has. So I think Aaron Gordon is an intriguing play. He's got upside. the minutes are going to be there. He's going to get, I'd say, around 26 to 30 minutes, you know, as long as he's starting. You know, he doesn't do, like, you know, one thing particularly well, but he kind of fills up that stat sheet. He's a very intriguing play, and I'm with Tyler, man. If the guy you want to stream for Monday and Tuesday, you could definitely use him. And if he keeps producing or puts up really good numbers, that's a guy you might want to potentially keep on your team.
Yeah, all good points.
I know you hate it, Mark.
All very good points, and I actually don't think he's a bad stream option. Let me just pump the brakes a little bit on him, though. I mean, I think your case is valid. Magic have lost 9 of 10 games. The only team they beat was Brooklyn.
Yeah, they've been a disaster.
So they've got to try something new, and they're trying to put Gordon in the lineup. We do have to remember, though, that Scott Skiles does some different things with his lineup. Like, he's not just a set it and forget it kind of guy. Like, 4 games ago, he played Aaron Gordon 6 minutes. And even as a starter, he only played him 24 minutes. He went, you know.
Yeah, but I watched that game because I played him in DFS a lot. He picked up 2 fouls in like 1 minute.
Okay.
So
here's the only other thing that I would say is his per 36 minute numbers, he's averaging 12 points. And again, I'm with you. I think at the very best, he's going to get, what, 26 to 30 minutes?
Yeah.
So he won't even get this high. But his per 36 minutes aren't that intriguing. 12 points, 9 rebounds, 1 steal, half a block. Not over a 3-pointer. So if we translated that to like 30 minutes per game, that's more like 9 to 10 points, 7 rebounds, a half a steal, a half a block, less than a half a 3-pointer per game. Like, I know he was a high draft pick, but other than that, that's the only really compelling case that I can come up with that he should be, you know, somebody that you're targeting.
Well, no,
because nothing, his stats so far this season or last season is showing me a lot of, like, high potential.
Well, right, and remember, he's playing with Oladipo, Payton, Vucevic, and Tobias Harris. So those mm-hmm. are 4 really talented guys. They're going to get most of the shots. Also, Aaron Gordon, he's not going to be getting a lot of shots. The shots he's getting are going to be alley-oop dunks, you know, some offensive mm-hmm. rebounds. He's not a focal point of that offense. But still, I think he can do enough to be a valuable asset if he's getting 26 to 30 minutes. But, yes, you shouldn't, you know, run to the waiver wire and cut, Carl Anthony Towns to pick up Aaron Gordon.
Yeah, don't do that. So make the case for me then, like, if Aaron Gordon is a top 100 player, which I think you're saying he has the potential to be, is that true?
That's going to be, he'll be, I think, a borderline top 100. Okay.
So what does his stat line look like that gets him to top 100? Like, what categories is he doing well in?
I mean, I think he's going to get you, let's say, like 12 points.
And that in and of itself isn't valuable.
No, that's not great. Okay. 12 points, 8 rebounds, you know, 2 assists, 1.5 steal, and 1 block. Something like that. Which is shooting a really good field goal percentage and free throw percentage, not so good.
okay. I mean, I think if he did those things, he probably would get to the level you're talking about. So I don't think that's...
So wait, are you telling me I win the argument?
Well, all I'm saying is I would be actually... So I think that's a fair level for a top 100 player. I would be personally surprised if he gets there, but I guess that's like his ceiling. You can have a point on that if you want. I'm feeling generous.
Yes, I will take that point. Tyler gets a point too.
Yeah, absolutely. Tyler gets a couple of points.
All right, so, Mark, I know you don't like Aaron Gordon, so I got another team that plays back-to-back Monday and Tuesday, okay?
Okay.
It's the Miami Heat. Now, for tomorrow's game, they have 6 guys who are questionable.
Oh, my goodness.
Josh McRoberts, Dwayne Wade, Lou Aldang, Hassan Whiteside, and Goran Dragic are all questionable to play right now for tomorrow.
First of all, Tyler, I got to stop you right there. Josh McRoberts does not exist. He does not exist. Like, until I see, like, visual evidence of that guy, like, to me, he's dead. Like, what is his injury? Does anyone know?
But here's the question, though. There's got to be somebody that we can pick up. Now, I had down Tyler Johnson as the guy who's the pickup for Monday and Tuesday, but I'll let you guys hash it out. There's got to be someone to pick up. They play a back-to-back Monday and Tuesday. I'm assuming some of these guys aren't going to play in at least one of those games.
Well, I actually picked up Tyler Johnson last week because I thought he was going to be a great guy and a great streaming guy for last week, and I was very proud of myself, and he was a disaster. Like the problem is like right now Miami has no one to bring up, no one to bring the ball up. Like Wade.
Would you give Tyler Johnson another chance, or are you done with
it? Well, I think Bino is going to play tomorrow. So like in reading all the Miami papers, Miami beat writers. First of all, Wade's going to play. I mean, Wade basically said, even though he's questionable. First of all, Wade was doubtful last game and ended up playing. So it infuriated everyone in the DFS world. And Wade actually had a pretty good fantasy game. In real life, he wasn't that great, but fantasy wise, he really came through. So Wade said unless he like you have to cut off his shoulder, he's going to be playing the through the shoulder injury and this week. So if you own Wade, I think you definitely got to activate him because he's going to play. The main guy. So Tyler Johnson, if Bino comes back, then I think Tyler Johnson is not going to be a great play. If Bino is going to be out this week, then I think Tyler Johnson is still an okay play. But he was disappointing last week. I'm trying to pull up his numbers.
Yeah, right. Well, Tyler Johnson actually played in the last game they played against, was it on Sunday or Saturday, against Toronto? Oh, on Friday.
Yep.
He played 33 minutes and had 4 points. So
Mark, he's been getting a ton of minutes.
Yeah, and he's just not putting up the production. So I wouldn't trust in him. You know, sometimes the way basketball works is not like football. Like, if your backup running, or if the running back goes down, you put in the backup running back and he gets 20 carries and 100 yards. Sometimes in basketball, the way it works is, you know, a lot of guys sit out for Miami, so Chris Bosh has 38 points. I don't know that there's anybody on that roster. Like, I think your high risk, high reward guy is probably Gerald Green. I would only do that if you need 3-pointers and you feel like you need a miracle to win your week. I think you could throw Gerald Green in and just hope something good happens. But after your comments about Dwayne Wade, I feel less inclined to do that.
Yeah, I mean, and if dear God, if anyone picks up Gerald Green this week and he actually plays well, like I'll buy you something because he's been a freaking train wreck. Like he has knee issues right now, so he can't jump. He can't get any lift on his shot. He's been worse than Tyler Johnson. I mean, he has been so bad. Like he's in just one of the worst slumps that I've ever seen a player in right now. So,
well, and that's just kind of the guy he is, right? Like the last 5 games, he's scored 15 total points. And right. Then the previous 4 games to that, he scored 21, 13, 15, and 19 points.
Right. But I'd be more inclined to play him. Like if, you know, cause if someone just said he's just on a cold streak and that's going to switch. But right now he's battling like it's knee injuries and something else, where he can't get elevation. And if Gerald Green can't get elevation on his shot and can't use his athleticism, he's useless.
Right. Tyler, you got anything else from the schedule you want to share with us?
All right, I got a couple more of these back-to-backs. All right, Wednesday and Thursday, it actually gets juicy. All right, we got some good guys for the back-to-back sets. Okay, Atlanta and Denver are the two teams that play back-to-backs on Wednesday and Thursday. So I had down, you can pick up Gary Harris. You can pick up Nikola Jokic, who's been taking all the minutes from Mark's boy. And Mark's other boy, Dennis Schroeder, 3 guys you could pick up for Wednesday and Thursday. You can own them both days and save yourself a pickup.
I mean, pick up Schroeder and just keep him.
He's only 34% owned, Mark. They're not taking your advice.
Right? Like, am I crazy? Do you guys agree, Schroeder?
No? I mean, like the thing about Atlanta is one of the most – they're becoming an infuriating team right now. Like you saw they had that horrendous loss to Phoenix. Jeff Teague, like what in the world is going on with that guy? Like, I guess it's ankle injuries that have really slowed him down, but he's like just a garbage of, he's just a trash can at the moment. So you would think that would be mean Schroeder's getting a lot of minutes and Schroeder just can't top that 24-minute mark or that 25-minute mark.
It really doesn't matter though. Like he's playing well enough in those minutes that he's doing just fine.
Yeah, no, and right, he's doing just fine. So if you want a player that's going to do just fine, pick him up. Yeah, I think I have no issues with picking up Schroeder.
Yeah, and I think just fine is an understatement. I think he's doing very well. Like he's been a top, I don't know, 75 player in the last month, basically. Even though he's only playing 21 minutes a game, he's getting you almost 6 assists, 4 rebounds, 11 points, over a 3-pointer, over a steal per game. That's excellent production. I'm shocked that it's coming from a player that's getting you 21 minutes a game. Yeah. That doesn't seem sustainable, but we've seen a pretty good sample size of it now. Those 6 assists by themselves are worth owning. To go along with the rebounds, threes, and steals, I think you pick them up. and don't put him back. Those other two guys, who was it, Tyler?
Gary Harris and
Gary Harris. Yeah, Jokic has been surprisingly good. I think he's a great stream option. Harris would be, if I'm looking for steals, I think Harris, I would go that direction.
And then you got another one of your boys. Friday and Saturday, the guy you could pick up to stream for a back-to-back on that day would be Clint Capella. The Rockets play a back-to-back on Friday and Saturday. And who knows if Dwight's even going to play at this point.
Yeah, Dwight Howard isn't doubtful for the next couple of games with his back injury. We know he has an extensive history of back problems. So we'll keep an eye on that. Maybe we'll be Capella and Josh Smith, and we can just go forward with both of those guys. Dan, anything else you want to add on those two?
No, I mean, we kind of touched on Houston. Like, mm-hmm. I just like the Capella. You know, give me that trade deadline, and then we can talk about Capella. Until then, like, regardless, even if Dwight's not playing, Capella's just not going to get more than 24 minutes, and you know, so he is what he is at this point. We gotta pray that Dwight gets traded and Capella gets some minutes. But,
or Capella gets traded.
Yeah, that too. So yeah, I'm not, you know, I'm not. But yeah, in terms of streaming, that he still would be an okay stream option. The same goes for Josh Smith. Both those guys for those 2 days, I think would be a good option depending on what your team needs.
Absolutely. All right, Tyler. Anything else you want to share with us?
No, that's about it. That's all I had. Like I said, it's a crazy week for games. So I mean, the streaming may not be as big this week as in some other weeks. So just hope you guys are playing four games. You got 18 teams, so you got a good shot.
Yeah, last thing we should mention is that Golden State is the only team that has back-to-backs on Saturday, Sunday. So
somebody did their research, and that's a nice little tidbit.
Oh, it's very – also, Mark, you know when we did our All-Star show?
Yeah.
I had a stat that I wanted to show it to, you know, to show how much I prepared for that episode, and I forgot to say it. So okay. I'm going to say it right now. Vucevic, Orlando starting center. How many? So it's regarding his free throws and how. Because I mean, I was reading an article how much he's a little wuss and he doesn't want contact and he doesn't get to the free throw line. So, how many free throws do you think he takes per 36 minutes?
Oh, I don't really know. I'm gonna guess 5.
1.6.
Wow, that's not many.
That's horrendous. So that's the third. That's the third lowest in history for someone 6'10" or taller.
That's really surprising.
But no, I mean, not really when you think about it, right? I mean, he's so soft. He plays no defense. He's very delicate. He's very kind of pretty looking. It makes sense, doesn't it?
Absolutely, totally makes sense.
I don't think you buy it, but no, I mean, so that was
no, I would expect. I would have expected more. I would have like I tried to guess low at 5.
Yeah, I mean, like 1.6. I mean, that's. I mean, he's going out of his way to avoid contact.
Yeah, usually you only see numbers that low with guys who are just afraid to shoot free throws.
Yeah, who was your boy earlier in the year who like didn't take a free throw all year? Who was that?
T.J. McConnell.
Yeah, he's basically like T.J. McConnell except he's like the center for T.J. You know, he's if him and McConnell could have a conference call on like just avoiding contact.
Can you imagine if they ran a pick and roll together?
It'd be beautiful.
All right, Tyler, is there anything you want to plug up from the website?
Well, you want to talk about weekly league pickups? I forgot about that. So
No, you're good.
You don't want to talk about that? All right.
Just tell us all the good stuff you've been doing on the website.
All right. So you can check out the Week 14 rankings are on there. You can navigate through them. I've been writing the Stats Trend and Rest of Season Value article, which a new one of those ought to be coming out in the next couple days, which is just a really interesting article. You can always find some good info there that not a lot of people are talking about.
Yep, good players. So go check out the website. We've got rankings. We've got rest of season rankings. We've got week 14 rankings. We've ranked all the players 1 to 400. We got rankings by position. We've got ranking. We got players we recommend to pick up, to bench, to drop, all that good stuff. And with that, hopefully you're all ready for your week 14. Good luck to everybody this week. Hopefully you enjoy some basketball. Hopefully you enjoy playing some fantasy. We'll be back on Wednesday with a new show. Until then, hopefully you have a good weekend or a good week. Tyler, Daniel, anything you want to say?
I'm good, man. No. Dominate your league. And also keep tweeting us songs. Hope you enjoy Quintus Never Crashes.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys.